This is Janine Spurgeon. Today is October 8th, 2020, and I am with Tara Summers. She is a former Plainfield resident. She graduated from Plainfield High School, and she is now a resident in Danville. Also, she works in Indianapolis, and she's got lots of information and stories to talk about the pandemic, being that she is 28, and she is of the super spreader cohort that they say are the super spreaders of the time. Also, she had some difficult issues with her employment, and as well, she was looking for housing during that time and had some significant struggles there. So we're going to talk to her about all of that. So, Tara, hello.
Hello.
All right, let's just dive in, and I'll start the first question. When you first heard about the COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it?
When I first heard about it, I didn't think it was as bad as it truly is, so it didn't really scare me at first. And then once I did hear how bad it was, I was extremely nervous for my job.
What's your job?
I am a bar supervisor at Lucas Oil Stadium and the Convention Center. What I do is solely based off of events with thousands of people.
And I'd mentioned that your housing, what was your housing situation as the pandemic started?
I was a month away from my lease being up at my apartments. I had a roommate at the time, and I had planned on moving into a house in Plainfield on my own.
Okay. Pandemic started and everything just kind of went to cray cray.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, well, first of all, did you have any other issues that?
No, it was just strictly the job and housing. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk about your job. What happened when the pandemic came down and everything shut down? What did they tell you?
So they immediately shut us down. We were not allowed back in the building. And I was told that I could go on unemployment.
Right. And how did unemployment go?
Unemployment worked out well until there towards the end, once they took the extra $600 away. It was a little scary because I wasn't sure what I was going to do because the buildings were still not open. So I had went out and actually got another part-time job. Was not much of a fan of it, but shortly after the buildings did open back up, but that was 7 months after the pandemic had originally started.
Okay, so you were officially on unemployment then for 7 months?
7 months, yeah.
More broadly, the economy, do you have friends or other people that, you know, had serious issues when everything kind of shut down?
I did. I actually had a best friend that was getting married. She had been planning a wedding for...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. She had a wedding during the pandemic. Yes. As well.
She had been planning for a wedding for about 2 years, and it was at a venue, and we had actually just went and looked at the venue and basically set everything in stone for the day of, right before the pandemic happened. So she kind of had to go month to month, not knowing if the venue was going to open back up. And about a month before her wedding was in June, she had to make the decision that either she postpones it or she has it in her backyard. So she decided to have it in her backyard. But with that being said, she had to do her whole wedding in 30 days.
Did she do it on the same date then that she had planned?
She did. She kept the same date.
Was it more expensive? How was that expense-wise for her to have to deal with that?
So unfortunately, the venue at that time, they were allowing weddings, but they were only allowing a certain occupancy, which the occupancy was extremely low. I think it was only at that point maybe like 50 people. And so between her bridal party and her side of the family and then her husband and his side of the family, that would have been over 50 people easily. So she had decided obviously to have it in her backyard, but the venue did not give her a full refund. Actually, I'm not sure that they gave her any of her money back. So it was a lot of money out of their pocket, considering they had to, again, flip it to their backyard. So they had to get tents, a dance floor, chairs, they had to rent all of that. And that wasn't including decorations because the venue was going to allow them to use theirs. And so with that being said, she had to go out and buy her own decorations.
Did she consider postponing it, or was that just not even an option?
It was not an option at that time. They had been engaged for, it had been over 2 years, and she had an original date, and then they moved it, and then she was set on that, and she was just ready to get married. They had thought about going to the courthouse, but even at that time, they couldn't even go to the courthouse to just do it there.
Did they require masks at her wedding? I mean, how'd you guys do that whole social distancing?
They did not require masks. That was, if you wanted to wear a mask, you could wear a mask, but that was not something that they
had required.
It was outdoors, they weren't that worried about it. And they have a lot of land. So stuff was very spread out for the most part.
Do you know if any infections happened after that? If anybody got sick?
I do not believe so.
In relation to your job, you're back at work now?
I am back at work, yes.
Okay. And how have things changed? Has anything changed?
Yes, actually quite a bit has changed. The stadium is the only thing that's open right now. ICC is not scheduled to open technically until 2021. There is stuff scheduled for January, possibly November. We just had an event that's scheduled and it's still on the books. And hopefully we'll keep that. But as far as the stadium goes, they have limited the amount of occupancy. I think right now we might be at 25%. Not every suite is open. There, I believe, is 61 suites that are open right now. And everyone has to wear a mask, including workers. Also, for workers, they have not brought many of us back. It is very little of us. It's mainly the people in the main office during the week. And then on game days, they'll bring in bare minimum of what they need as far as concessions and the suite attendants.
Do you know about what those people that haven't been able to come back for are doing?
I do not. All that I know is they're still on furlough. I don't know if any of them had went and gotten other jobs. I don't really talk to a lot of them because there's so many of them.
How many people are there you work with?
Between ICC and the stadium, I mean, over 100 easily. Okay. If you add in all the banquet and then people that are over across the street, because we use the same people, but depending on how big the event, there's more.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have to take a pay cut or anything?
I did not. Not when I went back. No.
That's good.
Yes.
Have they said anything about, you know, being worried about maybe being laid off in the future or anything like that?
No, they have not. My boss, actually, when I came back, she has been awesome. And the work has been cut back. But on our end of it, since there was really nobody in the buildings for 7 months, there's a lot of cleaning and a lot of updating that needs to be done. So on off weeks, if we don't have a game at home, then, like I said, we clean a lot. And yeah, and we've had to get rid of a lot of product that sat over time. I actually was just at the convention center and probably threw away thousands of dollars worth of beer that was expired because it sat there for months.
Let's go into your house, your family, and that kind of thing. I like to ask everybody, what did you do for recreation during the lockdown?
Well, I was locked in my house for, you know, the first, 3 months maybe. unfortunately, watched a lot of TV, but then eventually, and was with my roommate. I spent some time with her before we split ways. And then I eventually actually got into fitness. The gyms weren't still open, but I would run a lot outside, download apps on my phone, do different workouts inside the house.
I wonder how many other people got fit.
I don't know, because I've heard more of a lot of people were drinking and eating during all of it. And don't get me wrong, I did a lot of that too. But it came to a point where I was like, okay, enough is enough. I need to do something else.
I know.
So I chose the fitness side of it.
Right. You know, there was an interview with Pink, you know?
Yeah.
She said, I don't know about you guys, but I've been making a sport of drinking.
Yes.
While we've been locked down. Has the outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family?
No. I would say it did a little bit at first, only because I wasn't going and hanging out with my friends as much. But like I said, probably 3 months into it, I honestly was over it and needed to see people. I can't stay inside. I'm not a homebody. It's not my thing. I'm always on the go. So I eventually started to branch out and I would hang out with my friends.
Do you think that might explain the super spreader cohort?
I guess. I mean, they blame us for that, so that's probably why. But, yes.
Okay. And the bars aren't open at all, are they?
So around here, they are.
Have you been out to any?
I have. In the last couple of months, I have. And I don't even think that around here, around like Danville, Avon, Plainfield areas, the occupancy, I don't think it's a thing. I know that downtown, bars were not open. Mass Ave was open, but I believe it was just restaurants. And I know that their occupancy was down. I don't think they might now be at full percent occupancy, but I think even just like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, like Kilroy's and that main strip, I don't think they were open yet.
I heard that Dick's Last Resort closed for good.
Did they? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because there's several places downtown that I have seen that are now shut down or their new bar or new restaurant from what was there prior, right, before COVID.
What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during this outbreak? I think probably your housing challenge would be a good, that'd be a good segue into your housing challenge.
My housing challenge was awful.
All right, let's start from the beginning. You, the pandemic came down and you were just about to move out?
Yes, so I was a month away from my lease being up. And I was actually about ready to sign papers on renting a house. And I had got the phone call that we were shut down. So I immediately backed out of it because I didn't know what was going to happen with unemployment. I wasn't, you know, aware that we were going to get that extra $600. Mm-hmm. So I backed out of that, and I ended up, once my lease was up at my apartment, I moved in with my best friend who lived out in Martinsville. I went out there, that extra $600 had kicked in, so I realized that I would still be okay on my own. So I continuously started looking again for housing in Plainfield. I found several houses for rent and kept getting denied because nobody would accept unemployment. So about the sixth time I got denied, I eventually decided that was it. And I came back to my apartment complex and they let me back in. They did take unemployment and I moved in about probably 3 weeks after that, or 2 or 3 weeks after that.
What have you decided? You're going to wait till the lease is up to go looking for a house again?
I am, yes. So I signed a 1-year lease, and I actually really like it. I like it more than what I thought.
This is a nice little place.
Thank you.
It really is.
I think with as much as I do work, once things start to kick back in, it's kind of nice having to not deal with maintenance.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what's going to happen once my lease is up, because I was so gung-ho on having a house in Plainfield. But I may stay one more year, but maybe not, because my whole goal going back to Plainfield was honestly to get closer to work, because I'm kind of far from work. But we'll see. This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I think I'm honestly just grateful that it worked out, because after getting denied six times, and I mean, it was just awful. But I understand on the renter side of it, because they didn't know me from Adam. And at that time, I could have moved in and said, oh, I can't pay my rent right now, and they can't kick me out. So I see their side of it, but it was just also awful for me because I wasn't going to not pay my bills, and I just continuously kept getting denied.
But at least it worked out.
Exactly.
And you saved some money in the process, probably.
Yes, a lot, actually. Yeah. Yes, it was kind of nice. Yeah.
Self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you responded to requests to self-isolate and flatten that curve? That's so long ago. Nobody talks about flattening the curve, though, anymore.
No, they don't. And, like, you mean, like, just being in your house, like, self-isolating?
Yeah.
Well, I don't do well with it. And I didn't do well with it. I did, you know, like I said, the first couple of months, I drank a lot because, I mean, that was my way of coping with self-isolation. Because I have to be around people. I like to be around people. I'm a social butterfly. And I loved my job. I loved my work. So it was extremely hard to be.
Did you have to deal with depression? Did you have to deal with any issues of depression, anxiety?
I did. My anxiety, I've always struggled with anxiety and depression. So, you know, once my job shut down and then I had to move in with my best friend, whom I love and was very grateful for that. I don't want to take that away because a lot of people don't have that. So it was nice to be able to have somewhere to go. But it was hard for me because I, for probably 4 or 5 years now, have been waiting on that. I was waiting on that day to be able to go on my own. And it was a major, major letdown. And in a way, I blamed myself. But at the end of the day, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
But it was hard for me to see that because I didn't have my job. And that is one thing that I take a lot of pride in. So I didn't really feel like myself for months.
So how did you deal with it? How did you deal with the depression and anxiety?
I became a gym rat. Going to the gym helped so much. And putting myself with just friends and family. I have great friends that were very understanding and very positive about everything, were there to help me. And it helped quite a bit.
Do you know anybody who's gotten sick?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
couple of my very close friends have gotten it, and my mom and grandma actually got it.
Oh, really? Your grandmother got it?
She did, yes.
How did it go?
She was very sick. She was in the hospital for just a couple days, and then she ended up coming home. She has emphysema, so she's on oxygen. But yeah, so, and my grandma lives with my mother, so I believe it was whomever got it, spread it. My mom had it for, my mom was very sick for about a month. Yeah.
And what were her symptoms? Just
sore throat. I think it was mainly her throat. Every time when I would talk to her on the phone, it almost sounded like she had bronchitis. And like loss of voice. I think she had temperatures too. Mm-hmm. And then my grandma, again, I think it was the same thing. It was mainly her throat. It was coughing constantly.
And she made it. That is just wild. Honestly, it's just like a crapshoot. You know, this thing. You could get it and you might get sick.
Yeah.
You might not get sick. You might get it. You might not. You might die. You might not.
Because then on the other side of it, I've had several people who have gotten it who have had no symptoms.
Right.
But they've tested positive.
Right.
Or they've tested positive and the only thing they've gotten is they've lost their sense of taste or sense of smell. But that could be a cold, you know, too. That's what's so crazy about it. Because if you get a cold, you're going to lose your taste of smell or your...
I know that twice I've gotten tested. And each time, you know, you're like, you go into this frenzy of, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? Do I quarantine? Do I go to work? Do I tell anybody?
Right.
I don't know what to do.
Right.
Nobody ever knows what to do.
Right.
And I've done this twice now.
Right.
All right. So what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
News, family and friends. I don't watch the news on TV. So it's just been word of mouth.
Really?
Yes.
You don't watch any news?
I do not. I actually don't. I don't have cable. So all I have is Hulu and Netflix.
That must be blissful.
It's depressing to me. I don't want, especially in times like this, I mean, I feel like I should know things, but I know I'm going to find them out because by word of mouth, I mean, everybody's talking about it. We're in a pandemic. That's all they talk about. So I'm going to hear it and I don't need to watch the depressingness. I've said this through it all. I don't want to say it's not serious because I know that it is serious and there are people that have died from it and I don't want to take that away from it. But I also, there's a side of me that I just question it. I question, have we blown it up too much, you know? But again, I know that people have died from it, and that's awful. That's very awful, young and old. And, you know, I am on Facebook, on social media, so I see it on there, too.
True,
so
yeah.
I don't want to take that. I mean.
That's true, yeah. Has your experience transformed how you think about your family and your friends and your community?
It has. It's kind of one of those things you don't realize what you have until you lost it.
I've heard that.
So it's made me more grateful for the things that I do have. I mean, now that I'm back at work, I pray every day that we don't get shut down again because you don't know day to day. And, you know, we are one of six stadiums that are open right now. So it does make me nervous, especially going into flu season, that the amount of people in the building that we do, that they could just turn around and shut us down again. So it's scary, but it has made me more blessed, I guess.
All right. Okay. So one more question.
Okay.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future? What's your big takeaway from this?
How much everything has changed. Like, everything's so much different now as far as just, if you just look, like, if you're here just at a store, just how, like, everybody has masks on or you have to stand so far behind somebody. Wearing the mask all the time, I constantly just want to take it down. I mean, I have the worst time. And especially if I can't hear people too, it's kind of funny because if somebody's talking to me and I can't hear you, it's like, I'll take my mask down. Like, that's going to do anything for me. It's just hard to get used to. And as far as communication, like it kind of puts
a muffle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to, maybe a little nugget of wisdom to give the future generations?
Yeah, I mean, just try and stay as positive through the craziness, what craziness this world life brings you, because that's honestly all you can do. That's something that I've had to realize, because it was very hard to stay positive during all of it, especially when you're truly affected by it. And, you know, I look at it as I'm a single person, so I'm just taking care of myself, but I can't even imagine what the people who have kids and families were doing during this time, and as far as financially wise, and not working. So just stay as positive as you can and have a good outlook on life and believe that eventually it will end.
Right.
And pray that it will end and the world will go back to normal.
Well, thank you, Tara, very much for participating.